welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. You know, sometimes a story is not only about an issue that's controversial, but it's also made more complex because so many smaller narratives are woven into that issue. The argument raging in Dearborn right now over students having access to LGBTQ-themed books in school libraries is one of those stories. Start here. Monday and Thursday last week, we saw Dearborn Public School Board meetings erupt with passion and disturbance from hundreds of people who wanted to be heard about what kinds of information they think should be available to kids in the public school libraries in that community. The meetings made the news and stoked a really heated community conversation that you can see in many different places, but especially on social media. But really, this controversy began a lot earlier than last week. At a September 12th board meeting, seven books were temporarily held from being circulated in school libraries because many community members were upset over the content in those books. At that meeting, board member Hussein Berry said, quote, "I don't think this debate is anywhere near where it's going to peak out, and that this issue is, quote, not unique to Dearborn." He was, of course, right about both things. About 2 weeks later, rallies unfolded both in favor and against the decision to keep a number of LGBTQ-themed books from circulation in the school district. Since that time, there has only been more commotion in Dearborn, with the controversy directly tying into broader political issues. While the decision to hold or circulate these books may seem really simple, there is not just one issue at hand here. In fact, there are so many threads to this conversation, it's a little dizzying. You've got social conservatives, for instance, in Dearborn, who are upset by the very presence of LGBTQ material in public schools. Others are a little more concerned about some sexually graphic descriptions in just one of the books that's at issue. And then you have folks who don't want sex or sexually themed material anywhere near their kids in schools. Of course, the backdrop here is even about more than books. History tells us of the slippery slope to discrimination and oppression that often starts with book bans and seemingly innocuous efforts to, quote, protect children from certain kinds of material. And in Dearborn right now, you've got all kinds of interests jumping into the controversy over these books, applying their own agendas. That happens in every community where these issues come up, but it has been especially interesting to watch in Dearborn because of its large Arab American population. I think it's fair to ask about how and why a population that has its own history and profound challenges with exclusion and discrimination in this country is choosing to deal with issues of exclusion and discrimination involving another group. So all of this leaves us with a bunch of questions. What should be taught in schools? What kinds of information should we encourage kids to seek out in school libraries? What role do schools play in teaching students not just about democracy and politics and history, but also about sex and gender and identity and romance? And what do we make of libraries and schools all across the state and nation removing LGBTQ-themed books from shelves because some parents think they're inappropriate? That's where we begin the conversation today, talking about all of these issues that are swirling around this controversy in Dearborn. And we've got a great guest to help us make sense of all of this. Osama Siblani is the publisher of the Arab American News and somebody who knows more about Dearborn and the people of Dearborn than just about anyone I know. He recently wrote on Facebook denouncing Trump supporters and co-opters who were trying to take over these school board meetings and spin them into a movement for their own gain. He's somebody who is thinking really deeply about all of this, and I'm really glad to have Osama Sinblani with us here on Detroit Today. Osama, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Steve.
Yeah. So let's start with you just telling our listeners about where all this comes from, where it all started, and what your take is on what's actually going on. What has people so upset in Dearborn?
Well, this situation has started, I think, actually in Virginia by the Republicans, pro-Trump people. And then it made its way to Dearborn and to other cities in Michigan because I believe the Republicans lost on two major things that they were betting on. Number one, the voter rights, and the other one is abortion. So they had to pick and find something to hang on, you know, their campaign, because it was faltering, especially in the attorney generals and the secretary of state, and of course the governor's race. So they did pick on this one. Actually, they have surrogates in Dearborn who went on to the library. They could not get the book directly because they have to have kids. So one person had a daughter there. She went and signed on the book. She made copies of the book and displayed them on social media. Now, this is the beginning of the story, okay? And this person appeared on Fox and Friends and, you know, and talked about this issue where the Republican agenda is being pushed on the national level. Our community, the Arab American and Muslim community in Dearborn and around the country, they are generally socially very conservative. You know, they do not want their kids to be exposed to sexually explicit material. I know that. I do not want my kids to be exposed to sexually explicit materials. Mm-hmm. However, because the nature of the beast who is coming in to ride this wave, they took it to somewhere else. The books, like you said in your introduction, were taken away. Six, seven books actually were taken away from the libraries and put in a committee for review. The Board of Education has no power at this time to do anything because the administration is doing their job by pulling these books out. Even though the books were out, they continued the uproar. You know, this is where it has become more political than community-based, you know, because some people are taking it to somewhere else where it should not go. And they do it, they're doing it on purpose. You see, now they're announcing that the Trump coalition, from the governor's race to the secretary of state to the attorney general, they're bringing them to Dearborn for a rally. So those people never came actually to Dearborn in their life, probably. They showed up on Thursday at the Board of Education to support the community, quote unquote. These are the same people who have supported the Muslim ban. Actually, in my post on Facebook, I say one of the reporters on Thursday, television reporters, asked the Mr. DiPerno, I think, I don't know how he says
it. Matthew DiPerno, sure.
DiPerno. Yeah. He asked him if he supports the Muslim ban that implemented by Donald Trump when he was in the White House. And he refused to answer. He refused to answer in the middle of the school board meeting. That's one. The other one is, you know, Tudor Dixon. In February 19, 2019, when Macy's were displaying the hijab for sale, she went on one of the shows online as a commentator, and she said that hijab is a symbol of woman oppression. Mm-hmm. These are the people who are right now worrying about the Muslim community and the Arab American community, you know, and the sexually explicit books for our children. Yes, we are concerned about it, but we have an administration. Most of the principals and teachers in the Dearborn Public Schools are Arab Americans and Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people who are sitting on the board are sympathetic to the Arab American community and understanding of the Muslim community. So what is the problem in here? I mean, we have people who represent us everywhere. So why should we bring in the Republican power from the outside in order to push this agenda?
I mean, so I want to spend some time talking about the books that are at issue here and what's objectionable about them, to maybe make some distinctions between LGBTQ themed material and sexually explicit material. I think there's some conflation of that that's going on. And I want you to talk as a member of that community about, look, it is a culturally conservative community, the Arab American community, much of it is. And there are some objections to certain kinds of material. But I want you to draw the distinction between that and I think what you were trying to point out on your Facebook page about the fear of discrimination and the kinds of discrimination that is common between the Arab American community and the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, I did say, Steve, if you read my post, I said that we live in the United States of America where laws and rules and institutions protect the rights of individuals regardless of who they are, where they come from, what their color.
Mm-hmm.
So if we start on a discrimination towards a single group, regardless how small or large they are, we are going to end up discriminating against everybody. And it's a slippery slope, like you said in your introduction. We cannot hold it anymore. We cannot stop it anymore. So, yes, while we have to make sure that our kids are not exposed to sexually explicit books, I think other people have the right to decide whether their kids wants to do it or not. So I do not believe that we have the right to make the decision on everyone. You know, this is not something that I would support at all. And I think our community should understand. And this is what we're trying to do in here, is make sure that we continue to be a diverse and welcoming community. We cannot say that we are against LGBTQT or against, you know, people who are different than us. Otherwise, we will be discriminated against. A day will come when they say mosques should not be allowed, the Quran should not be accepted and be included as a religious, you know, institution. We have to be very careful when we start making these statements. Our community does not feel this way totally. There are people in our community, like in any other community around, they feel this way. But the vast majority, they do not feel this way.
Hmm.
I can assure you they're not homophobic. They do not. Like, it broke my heart the other day when a gay man by the name of Gary, I think we put it in our editorial, stood and he said during the meeting on Thursday, he said that my name is Gary and I'm a gay man and I was born and raised in Dearborn and I always felt comfortable in Dearborn because of the loving community around me. And I continue to feel this way, but today I don't feel this way. And I said, I agree with him because we do not want to say to see that people who are not like us are not comfortable around us, regardless of who we are. We're talking about in here, Muslims, Christians, people who are, you know, they are not, they're not straight, they're straight. I don't know all these names that they, you know, that they make up. to describe people and their sexuality. It doesn't matter, really. Yeah. We need to continue to be a welcoming community and a city that accepts everybody. And that's how we protect our rights. And that's how we can raise our children who are going to be not only studying in Dearborn, but maybe studying out of Dearborn and maybe working out of Dearborn in the larger community. Yeah. So this is, we do not want our community to be a closed community, Stephen.
Yeah.
This is really our concern in here. Now, we are handling this internally in our community with our friends. However, the meddling of the Republican Party, especially those, the Trump division of the Republican Party, which is right now the overwhelming division, is really taking this, stealing our emotions and playing politics with it. That's what I see. And that's really what upsets me the most. That's what really worrying me the most at this time, is how they are capitalizing on our emotions and our fears for our kids. And we must separate, you're right, we must separate between sexually explicit materials and materials for LGBTQ.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, we should give the parents the right to choose what kind of books their kid can have access to.
Yeah, I want to go to the phones here. And again, you can always join us here on Detroit Today at 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. We especially want to hear, of course, from folks in Dearborn who are thinking through this controversy, these issues, as they come up again and again at school board meetings. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today. And we can work you into the conversation. Of course, we've already got a number of folks from Dearborn in the queue here who want to talk about this. Let's start with Akiba in Dearborn. Akiba, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to Mr. Sablani for joining the conversation. I really appreciate both of you looking at the wider context of this and the political aspects behind it as well. I think it's become very clear that it's not really just about books. And that as I'm a genderqueer person who lives in Dearborn, and it's been very frightening in many ways to see people coming out on the side of hate. And I believe that our city government needs to adopt a non-discrimination ordinance, as many municipalities in Michigan have.
Mm-hmm.
We're like really behind the times here. Dearborn Heights has one. Detroit has one. Ann Arbor has one. Ferndale, East Lansing, all over the place. We don't have one here. And I think that would be really valuable. I also would like some attention on the business leaders that have been endorsing hate against LGBT folks. It's kind of surprising local business success stories. I mean, these are, you know, realtors. One of the founders of Hype Athletics has been promoting these hate rallies. A particular pharmacist from Health Pro Pharmacy is one of the main speakers at these events. And I have to ask myself, if a trans woman goes to his pharmacy seeking hormones, is she going to be discriminated against? Or say there is a parent of a trans teenager who's trying to get their puberty blockers for their kids from his pharmacy, are they going to be discriminated against? If listeners, even around the area, want to put pressure somewhere, they might want to think about some of these businesses that
businesses,
are...
Yeah, Akiba, that's a really great point. And I don't mean to cut you off, but I do want to make sure we get as many voices in here as possible. Before we break, Osama, quickly, if you can respond to what Akiba is talking about. What about the business community in Dearborn and members of the business community who are siding with those who would get this material out of public libraries, but also seem to have a broader aim here to make Dearborn less comfortable for the LGBTQ community?
Yes, of course, I validate his concern. I saw some of those people who he referred to in his conversation now, and I am very concerned about this. And like I said during the beginning, I said, you know, Stephen, that I want our community to be a welcoming community and, diverse community, and we should accept others who are different than us so the others can accept us, not only in Dearborn, but around the country. If we continue on this trend we are going to be a community that's on the shopping blocks as we are putting other people on the shopping block today. So, yes, it's a slippery slope. And I will condemn any organization, business that discriminate against anyone, including LGBTQ.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Osama Siblani. We're also going to add another voice to this conversation. The superintendent of Dearborn Public Schools, Glenn Maleko, is going to join us as well. We'll also continue to hear from you, our listeners, both on the phones and on social media. Dennis and Nathan and Dearborn, Neil and Franklin, we will get to you next. If you want to join them, of course, 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
Bringing you news that matters.
Stories that impact your life.
Music from the Motor City and around the world.
This is 1019 WDET,
Detroit's NPR station.
This is Detroit Today on 1019 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. We're talking about the controversy in Dearborn right now over LGBTQ-themed material that some people want to make sure is not in school libraries, not available to children in that community. Of course, it has started a rather robust argument, community argument, about not just the presence of this material, but what is beyond those objections. Are people really talking about something else? Are they really objecting to the idea of acceptance of the LGBTQ community? We want to hear from you as well during this conversation. Give us a call, 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to social media, to Twitter, and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. We've got Osama Siblani with us. He is the publisher of the Arab American News, somebody who is deeply rooted in the Dearborn community, knows a lot about what is happening out there, not just with this issue, but many other issues. I also want to welcome another voice to the conversation now. Glenn Maleko is the superintendent of the Dearborn Public Schools, who is the administrator at the center, I guess, of this controversy. Glenn, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you for having me, Stephen. Appreciate the opportunity to meet with you and to be on the show with Mr. Siblani.
Yeah. So let's start here. From your chair, what is this about? Is this really about legitimate concern about sexually explicit material that parents, I think in any community, would say, I'm not sure that I want my kids to have unfettered access to that? Or does this seem like an objection to LGBTQ inclusivity? I'd also love if you could sort of explain the way that the district is trying to sort through all those issues.
Sure. So the first thing I'm going to say is educators in the United States, Michigan, and Dearborn have just come off the toughest time we've ever faced with the pandemic. It was challenging for parents, students, administrators, teachers, and staff. And the one thing, I've been in Dearborn now 27 years, started as a teacher, substitute teacher years ago, was a principal, eighth year as superintendent now. And it's a great place to be, a great place to work. It's a very welcoming community, and that's what we've always done. During the pandemic, we listened to all sides of the parents, those that were, you know, concerned for safety, those that were, you know, thought we should be online, those that did not. And that was obviously coming off a very challenging time. We worked together with our staff to keep our students safe and the community safe. And I'm very proud of the work that we've done. What I would say, you know, we've also been a very welcoming community. For example, whether it be traditionally the Christian holidays that we take off, or we take off the Muslim holidays or allowing halal foods and other things that we've done to accommodate the community. So one thing I want to make clear is that, you know, we are a public school system and we welcome all students, you know, all staff from a variety of backgrounds, whether that be ethnicity, race, you know, differing viewpoints, differing sexual orientation. Those are things that are welcome in our district because we have to serve all students and we also will protect all of our students. So I want to make, you know, that very clear as well, that we're welcoming on all fronts and we try to accommodate all ends of the community. As far as I go with our, you know, with this issue, you know, really it started, we started listening to some parents that had some concerns and we were sitting down and we were trying to work with them. We've always had a process to review books in the district going back many, many, many years. And, you know, what we decided to do was we heard some concerns. We sat down with some parents and we said, okay, well, we can tighten the process. Let's listen to parents on all sides. We want to make sure that we're serving, you know, our students. And that's what we did. We started to listen. Our team led by Dr. Gruber and Mr. Martin that I directed to look at the guidelines. They started working with our media specialists and others to develop this tighter system to review books. We are all about process. We have legalities we must follow. There's Supreme Court decisions. We can't be arbitrary in our decisions with books. So we came up with this challenge process for parents. So if a parent had a concern, they could challenge a book and submit. They can always, every parent, I want to stress, we've always had opt out on anything, whether it be field trips, other aspects of curriculum or certain curriculums that are allowed by state law, whether that be sex education or other things. Parents have that right to opt out and we have that for them for books. But we also have a process that we're going to go through and review. So if there's a challenge, we'll look at it. We'll have our staff look at it. We have, you know, that ability to do that. And then we'll make a decision and it won't be arbitrary because it'll be a committee of professionals. Mm-hmm. And we are involving, an element of the parents in a second committee if people aren't happy with it. But again, I want to stress that, you know, parents have the right immediately to make a decision for their own individual child. Now, on top of that, understand that we have over 500,000 books in our library that mm-hmm. have been accumulated over years, you know, probably prior to when I started 27 years ago in the mid 90s. And it's going to take some time, but we're also going through our own process to review. You know, we understand that there's some concerns and if there's books that we feel are not appropriate at a certain age, we're going to try to look at them and make decisions. But again, it's not going to be me making a decision isolated, arbitrary. It's going to be a process that we follow within the law, ensuring that all rights are followed and that we're taking into consideration all viewpoints, including those that parents that have concerns about specific books with maybe some content that maybe, you know, I'm a parent as well. Maybe as an individual, I may or may not want that content in there for my child. And that's what the parent has the right. But we have some other parents, like was said on LGBTQ, that, you know, some of the books, depending on what they may be, you know, we have to make sure that all students feel welcome. And so that's why I won't be making this decision alone. We're going to follow the law. We've had multiple legal counsel advising myself and the board along the way. Mm-hmm. And I would also like to say our board has been steadfast, you know, at these meetings. You know, there's been a lot of criticism and we're willing to take that. You know, we're listening. We listened to the community on Thursday. And we're actually going back and looking at making possibly some revisions to our process based on that. Yeah. The only other comment I will make is that the one thing I would say is this. We also had elements that are not from Dearborn or parents that were inserting themselves into our meeting on Thursday. I've never seen them before. Hmm. And that, so we're not going to base it. We're basing it on what's right for the community in Dearborn, the parents and the students specifically in Dearborn. And we would prefer that the broader question doesn't come into our school board. We're a local school board serving students. And we don't want to get involved in any broader politics on any level. And I'm not saying either side. I'm just saying, you know, to me, the parents that live in the community, oh, those are the ones that I'm really trying to listen to. But the outside influences that are coming in, you know, they have less of an impact on me and the board. And in fact, we've Our board, when we announce someone coming in because of the Michigan Open Meetings Act, anyone can come, whether you're from Dearborn or not, but we are listening. Where are you from? You know, when you list that on your card. So we're taking those factors into consideration.
Yeah. So Glenn, I want to talk a little about how you approach this almost from an academic standpoint, I guess. Look, there, as you point out, there are parents who object to some material that it might be in the library. There's always going to be some objections to some material that's in the library. But for instance, if you had a group of parents who didn't like books that had African Americans as central characters or Arab Americans as central characters, if you had parents who didn't like books because they were written by women, you wouldn't really countenance those objections. You wouldn't, I don't think, spend a lot of time thinking about them, because clearly the point of school, the point of libraries, is to be a marketplace of ideas and to open up people's minds to as broad a canvas of those ideas as possible. So I want to have you talk through why a group of parents who have an objection to LGBTQ-themed material are getting any quarter in Dearborn. Why aren't they being told, as they would if they objected on some of these other bases, that, look, this isn't the point of school. The point of school is the opposite of this, and we need to make sure that it is inclusive, that the academic material that we present to our children is inclusive.
Well, I'm not going to make any comments. I don't know the motives of different individuals. That's up to them as to why they're coming forward. I'm not getting into that argument. What I'm saying is we welcome people from all aspects of the community, including materials that are LGBTQ. What we're going to review is aligned with Supreme Court decisions as to what may be content that may not be appropriate at the age based on the language, not based on any ethnicity, race, or LGBTQ or any other diverse background. We're looking specifically at obscene content defined by the Supreme Court, and that's what our committee will be looking at. We're not getting into those kind of issues, and I can't make any, I'm not going to assume motives on anyone, because I have to welcome everyone into the schools, and we'll do that. We'll make sure that our students are safe from the LGBTQ community, from different ethnicities, backgrounds, religious beliefs. That's why we're approaching it, not because of any diversity or any specific categories that individuals come into. That's not why we're looking at books. We're specifically looking at content aligned with the Supreme Court decision in 82, and we're using state law, and we will define it that way. And again, it's not going to be an arbitrary. It's really about the process that we're going through.
So this is
I also like to mention that, you know, there may be some books that someone disagrees, and we may, just because someone puts a challenge in, it doesn't mean it's coming off the shelf, because there may be a literary reason for it aligned with that decision. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, remember, the parent can still choose to remove the book for their child, but they don't necessarily have a right to do that for other parents that may want that book. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, my understanding here's the challenge with books.
So you really are just looking at explicit material, whether there is
correct.
Explicit material that, according to the Supreme Court, of course, and other standards, would not be appropriate for kids of a certain age. You're not looking at whether it's LGBTQ themed or otherwise.
Correct. We welcome diverse materials into our library.
Yeah. Okay. I want to go back to the phones and take a specific caller who I think has a specific.
But let me say something.
Go ahead, Assam. Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, I have to thank Dr. Maleko for his leadership and for the way he handled this crisis. He is dealing with a diverse community and broad, in its interest, and also the way they think and where they come from. So it's a very, very difficult job, and he's doing a great job, and I wanted to commend him publicly for what he has done so far.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm sure he does as well. Let's go to Salam in Dearborn. Salam, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you kind of brought me in right now thinking about the content of the books. I am a mother of one. My child's very young. She's only 5 months old. And I just want to clarify real quick because I have a very specific experience that connects to one of the books. I am a victim of sexual assault when I was really, really young. And I am currently a PhD student. And I think that's very important to say because I think a lot of times people don't take me seriously with respect to my own story. And I have a really big issue with the fact that Push by Sapphire is on this list. Because when we think about obscene content, we have this knee-jerk reaction in my community that anything that is deemed sexually explicit or implicit is deemed obscene. But a story about a woman or a young girl that survived sexual assault in her family has been reduced to incest in this community and these conversations that are happening about these books.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so upsetting as a survivor of sexual assault that happened. One that survived sexual assault within my own family, in the Arab and Muslim community, a topic that is silenced and stigmatized constantly. And I want to bring this up because this topic makes me very nervous, but my connection to the LGBTQ community is the fact that this, and within this community, and I say this with a lot of love, I was raised here, I'm a product of Dearborn Public Schools. I still live in Dearborn. My daughter will probably end up in these schools. But it is my community that has pushed my alliance with this group. Anytime an issue comes up with anybody who identifies as LGBTQ, this community has a tendency to talk about sexual assault. If we allow this to happen, our kids are going to be abused. If we allow bathrooms in our schools that are for that are gender inclusive, assaults are going to happen. If we allow them to read this material, we're going to be grooming them. I can only imagine at 15, 16, 17, what it would have been like to read this book.
Yeah.
I wrote my whole life. I've always written. I used to write stories of my abuse and burn them. So to find an outlet in a library at my school would have been amazing. It would have been cathartic. It would have been therapeutic. It would have made me believe that somebody was out there writing about my own experience. I would have had an outlet.
Mm. So
but the fact that these people are hijacking these stories to vilify LGBTQ is so horrific to me. It's like they grab anything related to sexual assault or sexual abuse and think that they're protecting children and use our stories to vilify another group. That's not okay with me.
Salam,
it really isn't.
I really appreciate your call and what you're saying here. And this is such a great example of how how this controversy has unfolded. I mean, this is a book that that a lot of people would be familiar with, I think. And if they're not familiar with the book, they might be familiar with the film that was made based on this book, Precious, which was in, I think, 2009, won a couple Academy Awards. Glenn, I'll give you a chance to talk about a book like Push and why or why not a book like that might be something that you say you don't want in a library in Dearborn, especially given what Salam is saying about children who are victims of sexual assault or things like that, and the liberation they might feel by finding this material in the library in their school.
So I know we were talking about some of the decisions, and here's, I'm going to come back to, I'm not going to get into specific books because, again, that would be me making an arbitrary decision. We welcome different content that people identify with. Absolutely. One of the things I'm being told is, you know, the publishers of the book ratings, you're also looking for age appropriate again. And my understanding is that the movie ratings are a lot more consistent. So if you're going to go to a movie, the ratings, PG, you know, age appropriate. The problem with the book ratings is they're not as consistent. And so that's why we as a school district are going through the process of reviewing. And right within our press release and our guidelines, I just want to read this three lines. You know, Dearborn Public Schools believes that media materials containing graphic or gratuitous violence, sexual content explicit, or hate speech and without literary or educational merit should not be included in our media center. That's specifically that. It's not about different groups. We welcome all groups. I've made that very clear. I've received emails from many parents on both ends of the issue. I've also had some meetings, and I've made it clear that we are accepting all students from all backgrounds. We're a public school. We welcome parents. We welcome differing ideas. We insist that you respect those that are in the public schools. We insist that everyone is safe. We insist that there is no harassment or anything like that. We protect our students. And yes, we do want materials that different individuals can identify with. So I'm not going to get into a specific situation because I'm not going to be the one making that decision. It would be arbitrary. That's why we have a process and a committee with professionals that are trained. And then we also have that secondary process where we will include parents, and we're even looking at, modifying and reviewing that again.
I want to ask another specific question. Yeah, then someone on Twitter says that, for instance, Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf is in the Dearborn Public Schools library. This person says it's actually getting checked out and is checked out right now. What's the difference between a book like that, which we know what it inspired and we know where it came from, and a book like Push that you're now considering removing from the library? I mean, help us understand the distinction that is being drawn here.
So again, we have 500,000 copies of different materials in our library. And the book you just referenced, I don't have specific knowledge of that because of all the books. I'd have to look into that. So I'm not getting into one book over another. What I'm telling you is that we've developed a fair process to review all materials. And if that book were challenged, we would look at it. Again, I use that statement. We have a category that we're going to use to analyze all of our books to see if they're appropriate based on age content. I would also mention that, because of our system, we do have, minors. And so one of the things that we need to do is protect our children as well. But having said that, there are other aspects within this day and age where you can access material that doesn't have to come through the Dearborn Public Schools. There's the public library. So a lot of the material that people, whether or not it's in our library or not, and it may or may not be some of the material that are individuals may want because of the differing viewpoints, there's other ways to get it. I can tell you, I did finish my PhD at Wayne State well over a decade ago, and these electronic systems are now in, what is being used. And I was physically probably in the library four times in maybe 6-7 years, but I was in that library every day accessing the database. Yeah. So I think, the times have changed as well. And that's the other thing with our electronic system is we've asked some of the suppliers of that to give us the ability to control that content as we see fit based on our process. So I'm not going to get into this book versus that book because, again, that's not my role. My role as superintendent, supported by the board, is to ensure a fair process for all. And I think that's what we've done.
So if somebody objected to having Mein Kampf in the library, you'd go through the same process then of review is what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah. And that parent can choose to opt out of that book for their child, just like they could another title.
Another one. Okay. We need to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Osama Siblani and with Glenn Maleko, who is the superintendent of Dearborn Public Schools, about the controversy over some books in the library in that community. I want to get to more of your calls as well. Dennis and Nathan and Dearborn, Neil and Franklin. We want to hear from you next. If you want to join them, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. Today on 101.9 WDET, I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. We're talking about the controversy in Dearborn about some sexually themed or LGBTQ themed books in the school libraries. Has caused a real ruckus at recent school board meetings. Fits into the backdrop of discussions not only about ideas in the marketplace of ideas, but also about politics and the politics of victimizing and choosing to sort of single out LGBTQ communities as targets, specifically by social conservatives in this country. We want to hear from you about what you make of all of this. Give us a call, 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today. And we'll work into the conversation. We've got two great guests with us as well. Salma Siblani is the publisher of the Arab American News, and Glenn Maleko is the superintendent of Dearborn Public Schools. Let's go next to Dennis in Dearborn. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. I got to tell you, I live in Dearborn, and I love it. I'm 74 years old, and it's just a great community, and the enthusiasm I have for being able to share with the Arab community is highlighted. And then I'm going to say I thank you so much for this hour because you've straightened out my mental health on this issue. I was at the first meeting, and I'll take you into the crowd. I inappropriately responded to one situation, and Ms. McDonald asked us not to do it, but there was support for the board's competency, and I applauded. Not 25 people in any direction, shoulder to shoulder, chest to chest, turned around and booed me and knocked me and even said, what kind of God do you believe in? So I don't know where that came from. Okay, so my point was competency. Where are our experts in this crazy world where we turn away from experts and say, it's not we the people, it's I the individual, and I get what I want. Where does that happen? And then on Sunday, I went to a local club here. I was in the hot sauna, and the discussion came up. And I'll tell you what, the biggest thing in that hot sauna with about eight people was homophobia. It was clearly homophobia that was driving the thoughts out of that little group of people. But the signs were all over it. Yeah. So we got a lot of thinking to do.
Dennis, I really appreciate the call and those thoughts. It's a really great perspective from inside the community. I want to go next to Nathan in Dearborn. Nathan, what's on your mind?
I just want to thank you, first of all, for having this conversation. I think people have made a lot of good points about this. I'm a father of four in the Dearborn School District. I grew up in Wyandotte, but I've been in Dearborn for over 20 years now. Mm. My stepfather is Lebanese, so growing up in Wyandotte, you can imagine that I heard a lot of stuff about that. But, you know, obviously I also care about our LGBTQ community. And what I see here and what makes me so sad is we have national organizations who are coming in and essentially generating culture war with two marginalized communities because they honestly don't care what happens to either.
Yeah.
And so no matter who loses, they win.
Mm. Nathan, that's a really great point. Osama Siblani, this is some of what you have been talking about since this happened. We've only got a couple minutes left, but I want to give you a chance to respond to Nathan and to Dennis.
Yes, I understand. I'm hearing you. I'm hearing others. You know, we really need to have a conversation internally in our community. And we need to have some debates quietly. And that's not going to happen before the end of this cycle election. Because, you know, they're capitalizing on this, you know, whether the Democrats or the Republicans. So we really need to have a very serious conversation about what's happening right now in our community. And we're going to have it in a calm and closed maybe places where we can talk about these things openly. I am not happy about what's going on, and I know many leaders in our community who have been calling me and telling me that this is not acceptable. So, you know, this is a very disheartening, you know, like to me, when I hear someone who is scared to come to Dearborn because they are LGBTQ or because they're different, it really bothers me a lot because this Dearborn is the most diverse city. Like we have 52 nationalities, ethnic communities in Dearborn, and it should continue to be a place where people visit and be comfortable. And that is my mission. And when I started the newspaper in 1984, we were the people who were discriminated against. We were the people who were bullied. Right. We were the people who were pointed at as our neighbors. you know, discriminated against us. We do not want to discriminate against others. It breaks my heart that after 38 years, this is what's happening in the city that I've spent all my life, most of my life actually, trying to make it a diverse, welcoming city and our community to be the point of reference when people talk about diversity and inclusion.
Okay, Osama bin Laden and Osama Sablani and Glenn Maleko. It was great to have both of you here on Detroit Today to talk about this issue. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, and appreciate it. And thank you, Mr. Sablani, to you and other leaders in the community that for the work you do and others that have been sending words of support, because Dearborn is a great place to be and it is welcoming to all. And we'll continue to do that.
Okay, that's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk with a Republican and a Democratic clerk about their concerns for the upcoming elections and what they're doing to ensure that the midterms go smoothly. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.